This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. The man accused in a string of targeted hit and runs is facing three new charges. One of those cases, a crash you first heard about here on KSL News Radio. Our own Becky Bruce has the latest.
The new charges filed today from Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill involve two crashes, but three victims. One of those three is the story you heard first from KSL News Radio. It involved a hit-and-run crash into a woman on T Street in the Avenues, caught on a doorbell camera video and obtained by KSL. When we first reported it, police had not yet confirmed a connection to the suspect on FOM.
FOM faces a total of 9 counts of attempted murder. Well, he boasted of his involvement with ISIS, but today, an 18-year-old from Idaho pleaded not guilty to charges he was plotting attacks against local churches. Alexander Scott Mercurio will face federal terrorism charges. The FBI says this 18-year-old was arrested the day before he planned to attack a church in Coeur d'Alene with flame-covered weapons, explosives, knives, a machete, a pipe, and ultimately firearms. A jury trial is now scheduled for May 28th. The Chad Daybell trial is off to a slow start. Prosecutors today going over every detail from the day that J.J. Vallow's body was discovered.
The same first witness from yesterday on the stand again today. Rexburg Police Detective Ray Hermosillo went through how they found J.J.'s body by a tree in Daybell's backyard. He also talked about the autopsy, discovering the boy in red pajamas with duct tape around his head, arms, and legs.
Several layers of duct tape from his arms.
KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis tells Utah's New News the prosecution is taking their time.
It's not as forceful as it was with Lori's case for whatever reason. They seem more subdued and really more of sort of plodding along. It's taking much longer than I would have expected.
Inside the courtroom today, Larry Woodcock, JJ's grandfather, has cried several times. Daybell himself broke his stoic pose several times, wincing. Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
Early this afternoon, we got word Southern Utah University had delivered the all clear after an evacuation and a search of the campus and the lockdown. Quick action taken following a threatening phone call this morning and reports of gunshots. There were none. Instagram is going to automatically blur any nude photos sent via direct message. They say they're testing out a new tool to help protect young people and combat sexual extortion. The threat is subsiding at Panguitch Lake. State engineer Everett Taylor says the dam holding back the lake seems to be holding up. They're now addressing the leaks with a three-pronged approach.
The first was to continue releasing water from the reservoir to draw the reservoir down and take the pressure off of this area. Again, it's 2 to 5 feet below the top of the dam.
The second tactic involved cutting the ice sheet to take away some of the pressure. Third, using boulders to stabilize a portion of the dam that was tipping. This is still a level 2 emergency out of 3. And residents in Panguitch have been told to be ready to quickly evacuate. We're not hearing many kind words about O.J. Simpson today. His family announced his death this morning. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the former football star, was accused and acquitted in the murders of his ex-wife and her boyfriend. Simpson's former house guest, Cato Kalin, who served as a witness in the 1995 murder trial, issued a video statement that does not focus on Simpson.
To the family of the beautiful Nicole Brown Simpson, may we always cherish her memories. Nicole was a beacon of light that burned bright. May we never forget her.
Kalin also expressing his condolences to Simpson's children. O.J. Simpson was 76. He died of cancer. Former President Trump has lost another attempt to delay his New York hush money trial. Jury selection is expected to begin on Monday. The former president facing charges that he falsified business records to cover up a long-denied affair from voters. FBI Director Christopher Wray today warning lawmakers in the nation's capital of the elevated level of threats to Americans due to the unrest in the Middle East.
As I look back over my career in law enforcement, I would be hard-pressed to think of a time where so many threats to our public safety, and national security were so elevated all at once.
Ray's warning comes as the Pentagon continues to monitor threats between Iran and Israel.
We're certainly monitoring the situation closely. I don't have a crystal ball, and I'm not going to get into specific intelligence.
Major General Pat Ryder says the U.S.'s commitment to Israel's security is ironclad. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
If you see smoke coming from Ogden Bay tomorrow morning, it's a controlled burn. Fire crews are burning those evil phragmites starting at 9. They say the smoke will be visible in Box Elder, Salt Lake, Davis, and Weber counties. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Ricky Mies.
And it is emergency traffic. A multiple vehicle crash with possible injuries. Eastbound I-80 at I-215's West Belt. Those right lanes are blocked and you do have delays not quite back to 5600 West, but these are stop and go speeds. Our other hot spot is a hazmat situation sitting on the freeway southbound I-15 at the south interchange, the I-215 junction blocking a right lane of travel. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thanks, Ricky. KSL News Time 5:06 coming this fall. American Airlines will be offering daily flights out of Provo Airport. The mayor, Michelle Cafuzzi, made it official this morning.
Proudly welcome American Airlines with year-round daily service to Dallas-Fort Worth and Phoenix.
Yes, flights to Dallas, Fort Worth, and Phoenix. Congressman John Curtis, a former mayor of Provo, says this is a great opportunity for the city.
This will allow people, whether it's Phoenix or Dallas, to make connections really around the country and around the world, which has not really been an opportunity out of Provo up to now. So it's actually a really big deal.
You can find Utah's new news full conversation with Congressman John Curtis on KSLpodcasts.com. The former interpreter for the highest paid athlete in sports history has been charged with stealing a lot more than we first thought. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter apparently lost $40 million gambling on thousands of bets.
Ipe Mitsuhara was Shohei Ohtani's best friend and interpreter for years. Federal prosecutors say Mitsuhara stole around $16 million from Ohtani to pay for gambling debts. That's a much larger number than previously alleged. Mitsuhara now charged with bank fraud, U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada.
Mr. Mitsuhara had access to that bank account.
Prosecutors allege Mitsuhara committed the fraud without Ohtani knowing and would even impersonate Ohtani when calling banks to withdraw money. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The stars seem to be aligning to bring an NHL hockey team to Salt Lake City. KSL sports anchor Sam Farnsworth has the latest on multiple credible reports saying the deal to bring the Arizona Coyotes to Utah is close to being finalized.
KSL sports learned that the announcement to bring the NHL to Utah is expected next week. Frank Saravalli, the president of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, joined the Hans and Scotty show on the KSL Sports Zone with information that Ryan Smith and the Coyotes are just a few signatures away from the team moving from Arizona to Utah. The Coyotes players have even been given notice that they should expect that deal to get done.
We will be following any developments on this story, and KSL Sports plans to be in Arizona next week as the Coyotes wrap up their season. Emergency traffic. We're brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. Here's Ricky Mies.
We're going to begin with our first emergency traffic situation. A crash with possible injuries blocking right lanes eastbound I-80 at I-215's West Belt. That is causing stop-and-go delays almost back to 5600 West. Then our other hot spot is in Murray. It's a hazmat situation. Emergency crews are blocking a right lane of traffic southbound I-15 at the I-215 junction in Murray. That's the south interchange. That's causing stop-and-go delays to 4500 South and then regular slowdowns back to 33rd. Even if you're past the hazmat situation with crews on the scene of this tanker, you're still going to see delays from the south interchange to the point of the mountain. Mark?
Hotspots out west include fairly extreme delays. Bangor Highway prior to 7800 South down to around Shields Lane, 9800 South. It's bogging down again around 134th South. SR-201 is heavy at the West Belt, then again Mountain View to Magna. I-15 in Utah County. Southbound crash prior to SR-92 and northbound delays Orem up to American Fork. Steve.
Northbound 15 delays from Murray now scattered up into North Salt Lake, also in Davis County from Layton up to Roy. Southbound Highway 89 delays through Uinta down the hill to I-84. Plus, you have delays clogged up on 89 northbound from SR-193, but all clear. Looking good on the West Belt so far. Those delays have cleared out. Legacy looking good as well. Transform your outdated kitchen with half-price granite, quartz, marble, quartzite. Starting at just $25 per square foot installed, visit halfpricegranite.com. Affordable luxury. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, we're looking at sunny skies and temperatures in the low 70s. We'll stay there for 6 o'clock, upper 60s for 7, mid-60s for 8, and low 60s for 9. Ultimate lows will be in the low 50s under clear skies. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
Blue sky, a gentle breeze, and 72 degrees. Sunset tonight at 8:04 p.m. KSL News Time 5:12. An endurance athlete this week wrapped up a nearly year-long run across Africa. Maria Chaleos is here to tell us more.
Jeff, the British man this week wrapping up his epic run across the length of Africa. Russ Cook saying the scariest moment in his, get this, 352-day run was being robbed at gunpoint.
The scariest moment was in the Congo when I was on the back of a motorbike thinking I was about to die. getting driven into the jungle. That was pretty nuts.
Cook says while the journey was grueling, it's not in his DNA to quit.
Well, there's obviously been a bunch of times where it was very difficult. Sahara Desert, sandstorms, and pushing that mileage up for the last couple of months was really tough as well. But I was never going to quit.
The endurance athlete, dubbed the hardest geezer, battled through injury, illness, logistical nightmares, getting lost in the jungle. To complete the mission of running the entire length of Africa, he ran over 10,000 miles. He gathered a huge social media following and has raised over $965,000 for a number of charities. His journey also documented on YouTube.
Did he have to run through the Sahara Desert?
Yeah.
That would seem like a lot of work.
It was hard to tell from his accent, but the first thing that he said was really difficult was the Sahara.
How do you do that?
I have no idea. Okay. I can't even run a couple miles. So.
Wheelbarrow with a lot of water,
maybe?
Not
me to ask.
KSL
More
News.
Than that.
KSL News Time 5:13. If you get pulled over in West Jordan for a burnt-out headlight, you might not get a ticket. Instead, an officer may hand you a voucher for a free repair. The West Jordan Police Department's joining forces with Lights On. The goal is to educate and build community connections between the police department and residents. There's a new warning that California could be on the verge of a strong earthquake in the near future.
It's not unusual for Southern Californians to constantly hear about studies and warnings that one day the big one will hit. But there's a new study in the journal Frontiers in Earth Science. It says areas around the San Andreas Fault could see a strong earthquake as soon as this year. The scientists saying after analyzing data before a 2004 quake that they're seeing similar patterns in the earth. But famed seismologist Dr. Lucy Jones disagrees, saying just because something is seen before one quake does not make that a warning. Alex Stone, EBC News, Los Angeles.
Trending on social media, it is National Pet Day. People are taking the opportunity to post their adorable furry friends to the socials. We are not immune to the hype here at KSL. We put together an Insta post of our own, and you can check it out on Instagram at KSL News Radio. The post happens to feature a few special guests from my house. Our dogs, Bean and Lola. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
the man accused in a series of hit-and-run crashes that appeared to target female victims now faces a total of 9 counts of first-degree felony attempted murder, with 2 more accidents tied to the case. I'm KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce.
Second, the threat of a breach at the Panguitch Dam has subsided. Officials have been releasing water to bring it down below the area where the crack was discovered. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
They've opened up the right lanes of travel, but the crashes over to the shoulder eastbound to I-80 at I-215's West Belt. Delays still solid and past Bangor Highway. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Sunshine in low 70s today. How about upper 70s tomorrow? I'm Kevin Eubank.
72 at the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios now. Our top national stories
from ABC News.
I'm Daria Albinger. Swing and a miss. A big one. The former interpreter for one of the world's richest athletes is charged with federal bank fraud. Ipe Mizuhara, accused of allegedly stealing millions of dollars from L.A. Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani.
In court documents, federal prosecutors say Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, committed fraud on a massive scale. They allege he acted as Ohtani's de facto manager and set up Ohtani's bank account because Ohtani didn't speak English. U.S. Attorney Martina Estrada on the case.
For allegedly stealing more than $16 million.
Mizuhara is accused of netting a loss of $40 million over years after placing around 19,000 wagers. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Mizuhara will surrender to the feds tomorrow. The House is expected to vote tomorrow whether to re-up the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA. FBI Director Christopher Wray told a House subcommittee today it's needed more than ever.
As I look back over my career in law enforcement, I would be hard-pressed to think of a time where so many threats to our public safety and national security were so elevated all at once.
The U.S. is warning Iran may launch an attack on Israel at any time. It blames a Jewish state for a strike on its consulate in Syria. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller says the Secretary of State has spoken to his counterparts in Turkey, China, and Saudi Arabia.
Make clear that escalation is not in anyone's interest and that countries should urge Iran not to escalate.
Israel has not claimed responsibility for the strike. Another day of strong storms across the south, including a possible tornado near St. Augustine, Florida. Former football star turned accused murderer O.J. Simpson's died. His family says he was battling cancer. He was 76. City officials okayed a plan to build a huge stadium for Major League Soccer's New York Football Club next door to Met City Field. You're listening to ABC News.
And now the KSL in-depth. Only one witness has taken the stand in 2 days of the Chad Daybell murder trial. Joining me live in the studio, KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis. Greg, you were at opening statements in the courtroom yesterday, and I'm most curious for your impression of the proceedings.
You know, sort of slow, Jeff, and I actually heard the first witness testify as well. There was certainly more to the defense opening statement than we heard in Lori's. They're going to put on a defense. They even articulated 9 witnesses, including Chad's 5 children who are going to testify, I guess, that their mother had some other ailments that may have contributed to her death. And they're calling 4 experts, one to talk about the DNA that may not be what the state is proposing it to be, another one to deal with the body that was found, JJ, and maybe that they didn't put the pieces together as well as they should have. Another one is a medical examiner who's going to say that maybe Tammy Daybell's death wasn't a murder, and then another forensic expert. So, yeah, they're kind of all over the place challenging the state's case in ways that Lori's attorneys didn't.
Is it possible that this effort by the defense might not result in a not guilty verdict, but could keep him from the death penalty?
You're exactly right. I mean, you nailed it on the head, Jeff. And I think that's exactly what the defense is trying to do here, is to create just enough in the jury's mind to think, well, you know what? There are other people involved. Lori didn't get the death penalty. And by the way, Chad's lawyers were just going after Lori hard their whole time. And Alex Cox, they were really going after those two people, making Lori seem like she was this great seductress. So, yes, if they could save Chad's life and say, look, they didn't execute Lori and she's the more culpable of the two, the jury might buy off on that.
She's already serving life. They can throw her under the bus without thinking twice about it here.
Exactly right. And she's doing multiple life sentences. I think she's doing 3 and she's waiting to do more down in Arizona.
We appreciate you providing some perspective after being in the courtroom for all of this. And one of the most fascinating things you talked about yesterday was Chad Daybell sitting alone inside the courtroom for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it had to be painful for him, just sitting there staring at the wall because all the audience is there looking at him, and he was motionless. You could tell he was thinking, somebody come and sit by me. I can't just sit here alone.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, you're a lawyer. You've been in courtrooms so many times. Do they sedate these defendants have to sit there?
No. I mean, he was as awake as anybody else in the courtroom. He was just... I think he was stunned by the episode of the whole thing, just the atmosphere. He was just sitting there, and he had this look about him that was like, my life is now passing before me. Mm.
Greg Skordis, our KSL legal analyst. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Appreciate it. KSL News Time 520. Emergency traffic now. Let's get you home. We're brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. What's the deal, Ricky?
Well, a lot of the emergency crews with the hazmat situation in Murray have left the scene. However, officers still have the right lane blocked southbound I-15 at the I-215 junction. The tanker is actually out of traffic in the Gore area. But again, this is just adding to the heavy delays. We have slow and go and stop and go speed southbound I-15 from 33rd South to Midvale, and then our usual afternoon drive delays from 72nd to the point of the mountain. Now eastbound on I-80. That's been our other emergency traffic situation. All lanes of traffic are open, but the crash is over to the right shoulder at I-215's West Belt, and we still have solid backups past Bangor Highway. Mark?
Yeah, I-15 southbound's been a little bit heavy down from Point of the Mountain towards a crash. KSL Traffic Trooper Tage has texted in prior to SR-92. So once you clear that, you're going to be very heavy again as you struggle just past 5th East American Fork down to about Geneva Road. It's much worse on the northbound side of I-15 from about University Parkway headed to American Fork 5th East. I see Redwood Road delays already. Bluffdale down to Camp Williams area. And I see Mountain View extreme delays through daybreak as well, Steve.
Also, backups and sluggish traffic right now on southbound Foothill from the U out to 21st South. Going to see delays in spots in that location. Northbound 15, scattered delays from 21st South there at the Spaghetti Bowl into a North Salt Lake and Davis County from Layton up to Roy. All clear, though, right now on the West Belt and the Legacy Parkway. Discover the power of hands-on learning at Tooele Technical College with affordable, flexible, and achievable technical education. Your future begins here. Apply today at tooeletech.edu. That's tooeletech.edu. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
The KSL 7-day forecast starts off extra warm with lots of sunshine. Mostly sunny, a little breezy, and 79 for the high on Friday. Sunshine and 76 on Saturday. We'll start to see the clouds roll in Sunday, partly cloudy and 67, and then the real changes come in. Plenty of clouds, temperatures fall to the 50s to start next week. 30% chance of some scattered valley rain and mountain snow for the first half of the week, and temperatures progressively get cooler, low 50s as we head through Wednesday with overnight lows dipping back into the mid-30s. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
72 degrees. Pop open the sunroof. Your 7-day forecast brought to you by Performance Automotive Bountiful. We'll check the markets next.